FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop? Transformers, defenders of
truth, robots who fight in disguise. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 230. Recorded January 21st, 2017. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hey, what's up?
Jim Black.
Oh my God, who are you people and how did you get in my house?
Proto Man.
Back again.
And Jackal.
Hey, everybody.
Quiet Man. Try not to be quiet tonight, man. Put in some comments. I want to say hi to everybody
that's joining us in live tonight.
We're broadcasting as we always do on YouTube, if you're following along with us live, you can comment in the live chat or tweet us at TFYLP. I'm following both of those right now. And also on our Facebook page, the top pinned post will be this episode. And any comments in there we may mention here on the show, as well as the ones here on YouTube. So, guys, how have you guys been doing this week? Don't all talk at once.
Sorry, just posting the link on the computer.
Wonderful.
Great, actually. Great. Bought a bunch of stuff, got my huge case of crap in the mail from Japan, so...
Gross.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I don't know. I mean, I heard that you could get, like, stuff that you have to go see a doctor for. You know, huge thing of crap.
Well, it depends on where you order it from.
True. As long as it comes with the antibiotic, we're good.
Well,
K is Japanese for diarrhea.
Ew. TMI. Want to say hi to the people that are viewing right now, Night Swords and Transformers New Fan. They both said hi. We are live. Also, check us out on our Patreon page at patreon.com/TFYLP. You can help us sustain ourselves by giving a little each month to help cover our server fees, upgrade of equipment, stuff like that. Help us continue this great endeavor that we're doing right now. Tonight we're going to be talking about Transformers character development and evolution throughout the series. This was a topic that was suggested by our listener, Carrie Panagopoulos. I want to thank you for your comment in the live video on our Facebook group. I posted last night. I'm going to try to do that on a somewhat regular basis, kind of interact with the fans on a live basis on Facebook that way. And Also tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about, I was able, through our sponsor, Captured Prey, great toys, great prices, great service. You can save even more on domestic orders of $150 or more with free shipping. And also Mega Toy Fan. You can maximize your collection while minimizing your cost with MegaToyFan.com. But I was able to pick up, for review purposes, Fans Hobby, which is a new third-party company, has a couple releases coming out very, very soon, which is the MBO1, the Master Builder 01 Arch Enemy, which is known to many as RID Scourge or Car Robot's Black Convoy. They have a masterpiece version of it. Well, I'll pull up some photos here. Let me share it. Oops. Somebody trying to message me here right now.
Tell them we said hi.
Yes. All right.
Ask them why they aren't listening in.
So this is it right here. The Master Builder 01 Arch Enemy. I was able to get a hold of these and do a photo shoot of this one and MBO2 Megatooth. If you're watching on the YouTube video right now, I'm sharing the picture of MBO1 Arch Enemy. Fantastic toys. I got to say, guys, this is a new third-party company, and a lot of people are always hesitant to pick up something from a new vendor such as that or a new company such as that if they're not sure of the quality and stuff like that. Well, this guy and Megatooth, I can say there was no sloppy paint at all on these guys. They were big, hefty, and sturdy, good, thick plastic, lots and lots of die-cast, and lots of ratchety joints. The quality on these was top-notch. I'm not trying to shill these guys. I'm just giving you my initial opinion. And I have to admit, I'd heard about these earlier on, you know, whenever they were announced. And while I like both characters, they weren't really high on my radar. Now, after handling both of them, I've already pre-ordered both because they are amazing. Any of you guys have a chance to check out the pictures that I shared earlier this week on those?
I've seen them. I did. I kind of like the RID Scourge looking one. I was a little uncertain as far as the head sculpt, but overall, I think they've pretty well nailed it. It looks really nice.
Duran and I were actually playing Call of Duty the other night, and he could not stop from listing off all the pros about the figure. I'm like, dude, stop before I waste all my money on it. I'm like, come on.
You ain't going to waste your money on it. It is amazing. Here's a picture I'm sharing. It's the original Laser Optimus Prime G2 mold, which is what Scourge was based on, or a redeco of. And then the MBO1 right behind it. And, I mean, it's a much larger figure. And as far as transformation goes, it's like it takes the G2 Laser Optimus Prime transformation and does a little bit more with it. It's got the same basic conversion.
I saw Pia's review the other day, and I'm like, I was surprised at how simple the transformation was.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you took G2 Laser Prime and MP10 and smashed them together, and they had a baby, and this is what resulted. I mean, it's amazing. Anybody else had any comments on the figure?
Well, I looked at it. I just looked at what your pictures were, and I remembered what Scourge looked like. And I actually liked the original Scourge transformation because I thought it was pretty simple, and I thought it looked good. But then I saw this, and I'm like, wow. I mean, you're just taking the same, like you said, the same simple transformation, and you're just making it in masterpiece terms, where you get more articulation, more detail, and a bigger size.
Yeah.
Now, The only thing I wanted to know was is how much bigger is it than the RID Scourge?
Well, I shared a picture of it here on the screen share. I know you guys can't see it on the
I'm trying Scott to see Vendor. It. I looked and I didn't see it. Is it, I mean, for our listening viewers, is it, you know, a head taller?
Okay, the about the middle of the windows on Arch Enemy is the top of the shoulders of Laser Prime.
So this thing's like a third taller.
Yeah, it's a full head and shoulders taller than the original version of the mold.
How does it pair up to MP10?
Okay, I've got a picture of it here.
I think it was just like half a head taller.
Well, in my opinion, I think that the Scourge mold, which was a Laser Prime, which was an upgrade, mm-hmm. should be a little bigger. So yes, it should be bigger than MP10.
Yeah, it's the very top of his head is maybe, I'd say roughly 2 millimeters taller at the crest. The antennas, you know, obviously just a little head taller, and of course the shoulder pylons on the Arch Enemy mold makes it just a little bit taller than that.
And it's face to face with the MP10, more or less.
Yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand. Now, there's some things that some design cues that it takes from the MP10. The hands are very, very much like MP10s. It's got the same articulation in it. The feet are very reminiscent of MP10. Matter of fact, outside of some degree of tilt. The feet are very much like MP10s. Now
the midsection and the waist look similar too.
They're similar construction. They're not identical. I mean, it's not like they just straight up knocked off the MP10 mold and turned it into the laser rod prime mold. It's an entirely new design. Cool. No, that would not be cool. But entirely new.
But you're looking at what you could tell what would be possibly an upgrade to MP10.
Yes. And this is also outside of, I would say, KFC's Haiku, our first true RID masterpiece or third-party figure. And I don't think they could have picked a better one. True. And another thing I've got to say about this toy, before we move on to Megatooth, is the amount of die-cast that is in this toy is staggering. And it's not in a bad way. And I want to say that. It's from what I recall, I've had to turn back of both of them back in. They were being sent off to Optobotomus for review after I had a hold of them. The feet, the back of the legs, the hood and the top of the cab are all die-cast metal, as well as the smokestacks on the truck. So all the silvery bits are all die-cast metal. And it's very sturdy. It doesn't feel cheap in any way. One thing I do have to note about this toy, and it's a little bit funny, but it's also not really too serious in the fact that the tires are made of vinyl. And
you said that the other day.
You open up this toy because it was sent in its production packaging. I mean, in its actual retail packaging. And I broke the tape on it and slid it out. And Orson and I of Captured Prey, the very first thing that came to our mind or came to our noses was the odor. It smelled like a skunk had been let loose in the room. The smell of the vinyl was that strong. And I actually had that standing on my computer desk in my collection room here for overnight. And whenever I came back into the room the next day, it was quite stout in here. So I just gotta let people be aware of that. You might want to air the toy out before you actually put it on display. because it
might
will
make you high.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that that was normal, or do you think that was because of what the production or pre-production sample?
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's the nature of vinyl too. I mean, it's going to smell.
Yeah.
It's not like it's something that it's like, oh my gosh, it's a terrible turnoff for the toy. It's just part of the production process. It's part of the materials made. But Daniel, do you have any thoughts on this figure?
No, it looks good. It looks good. I always when they do these kind of things, you kind of say to yourself, well, what's going to be the repaints down the line? So it's pretty obvious what the repaints are going to be
well,
at this point.
Yeah, the fourth release from Fans Hobby will be this in Laser Rod Prime colors.
Nice.
And the difference.
I just have a question because the only because I'm looking right now at the screen of what you have up right now.
Uh-huh.
What color is the clear windows?
The windows are
red.
They are red.
Okay.
They are red.
The original Car Robots one was pink, and the American release was red originally.
Yeah.
And I found the American one actually was an improvement over the Japanese one, which is, you know, usually a rare exception.
Yeah, they did
Whoa, 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 what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that sometimes has blow.
Yeah. they did have a red tint with that, and it is translucent. I didn't try it, but I suspect there's enough room in the cab that you could probably fit the Spiker Daniel figure inside of it.
I thought I saw someone did that.
It's possible you could do it. I mean, the size is big enough to do that. Now, one difference that the Scourge version of this mold will have over the Laser Rod version, if you can look closely at the pictures, and you can check out the pictures on the TFYLP Facebook group or Yellow Wolf Studios Product Photography. That's my photo page. The chest windows look like they can open. Now, on the Arch Nemesis, the manufacturer did state that the chest panels will not open. They will be glued shut on this version of the mold. Now, the Laser Prime version, they will open, and there will be a matrix chamber inside.
More so probably for the Ultra Magnus repaint.
Yeah.
Because
that's actually a character-related thing.
Yeah. Now, go ahead,
Jim. I wonder why they would choose to glue it shut to remove the option of... Just simply
because that character wasn't known for that. And cost.
Yeah. Or cost.
It'd cost more to just add the glue.
You know, no, but it would add the matrix and everything else to get you to buy the other one.
No, I mean, leave the matrix and all that out. Just leave the chest able to open. You know. I don't know.
But what purpose would that serve? And anyway.
For a third-party company to make a third-party matrix for the Scourge.
Yeah.
Fourth-party.
Because they factor in the cost of the glue.
Blew my mind.
Well, just got a little
wouldn't that be like there. Sixth party?
Well, you got the cost of the glue, you got the labor to apply the glue on all the things.
That is if you have a human
third
do it.
Party twice removed. That's all I'm saying.
Three times, nine party.
That's right, nine party.
That's true.
I did read on the Fans Hobby Facebook page, somebody inquired if they were actually going to do a trailer for this and the Laser Prime version, and they said that they do have one in the works. So expect a chromed trailer for this bad boy as well.
Because we all have $150, $200 laying around.
Well, yeah. But you know what? I got to say, for a figure this size, you know, MP10 size, well, actually a little bit bigger, the price on this is suggested retail price on this is right at $100, $100-$110. So it's normal masterpiece price.
Yeah, I will give it to them because usually third party is a little inflated when it comes to pricing. But I mean, if this was, let's say what we're looking at right now, one by one, if this was a Takara product, mm-hmm. then this, you know, that's about the right pricing. Actually, it probably would have been more. Probably would have been more in that Shockwave / you know price point of let's say.
Well, what did MP10 go for? Or the price US?
But you can't count that because it came with a trailer. That's why.
True.
So
that's true. That's true.
That's. But I would say like Shockwave, which I mean, I'm trying to base the sizing here. I mean, it's a little taller than Shockwave, but Shockwave was about like, you know, he was about like $200 almost when everything was said and done. Trying to think of what. See, I'm just looking at my own collection here for scale, because there's not a lot of things that are really MP10 scale now, coming from the Master.
Now that you said MP10, that came with the trailer. I'm thinking of the.
Well, there's the
Nemesis Prime.
The, well, there, what price year the horse did it come with? No, which one was it that that didn't come with the trailer?
That Nemesis was the Prime mold.
Yeah,
no.
Nemesis Prime.
I know Bape.
Nemesis Prime didn't. The Black Prime.
And Bape didn't. Yeah. The Bape
Black
Primes didn't.
The Black
MP10, the Nemesis or Black Prime, Black Combo, whatever you say it.
Yeah.
Did not. And what was the price on that?
Yeah, but that was an exclusive, though. So then again, that's a bad example. So, I mean, you have to think like, but again,
come on, Daniel, work with me here. Work with me.
If this was something that was a straight up Toys R Us Japan, Japanese retail, Laser Wave, which was MP29, I believe, he was like about almost 200 American after everything was said and done. Again, I can't use the recent Conehead Seekers because those have all been exclusive, so those are weird pricing.
Well, yeah, Transformers New Fan pointed out on YouTube the MP Skywarp, the Takara one, was $200.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And there's like no die cast in that. You know, so
well, that's just it. So just it's one of those cases where at least third party is being reasonable with the pricing, where sometimes when you get stuff of this size, you find out, oh, God, it's $350 item, $400 item, which is usually what scares a lot of people from collecting.
Yeah,
third
but I honestly think that that's you're looking at what the way third party's going. They have to. I mean, there's so many third parties out there now that they have to be competitive, not only in their quality, but their price.
Well, also, yeah. I think the window is closing on them on what characters to do now. I mean, it especially rapidly.
Well, and rather than have four, five, six different repaints or reimaginations of the same character, you're correct.
2 years ago, you had people killing each other over a quake wave.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now that doesn't exist anymore. Who knows what?
I mean, how many times are they going to do Devastator? And they're still doing it.
Yeah,
and I never understood that.
I didn't either. But if you look at the price point of the new one that came out just a little bit ago, and it's cheaper than the first one we got that we had to buy in six different ways. It's just the way things are. And we said this before with third parties, that is that kind of bad for Hasbro? Yeah. Is it good for us as a consumer? Absolutely. Because not only do we get to pick what we want, but you know we can be picky. And picky also means we get to pay the price we want, within reason.
Yeah. Well, moving along here, I pull up the next group of photos. We got MB02 Megatooth, which is their version of the MonsterBot Repugnus. And first off, this was probably the one that was least on my radar. Whenever it came in,
until
I got a hold of this thing.
I did an article for the website doing this, and the pictures look really good.
Yeah. Now, Repugnant. Now, I'm a Double Cross fan. Double Cross was my favorite monster bot. I love Double Cross, and then followed by Grotusk. You know, you newbies, you young people, it's not Twinferno, it's Double Cross.
I still say he's going to be remolded into Fangry, but that's just me.
It might be, but...
No, I don't see it. I'm looking right at it, I just don't see it. That looks just like him. I mean...
Look at the wings, though.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I kind of see what you're saying, but...
Yeah.
Well, they're good for retooling. So,
but
I'm not going to sit here and say 100% they're not going to do it, and then they turn right around and, you know, redesign 75% of it, but it's still the same thing. And
we
boom,
got Gitterai out of Magnus, you know,
yep. Exactly,
or Scourge and Highbrow.
Yeah, that one threw me. Yeah.
Actually, no, Scourge and Highbrow are they share some similarities, but they're not identical.
Yeah. The waste, I know, looks. You can tell they use the same.
There are some part sharing.
It's his word template. They use
Yeah, there are some part sharing.
Blur and Brainstorm, I know.
Yeah, I never would have thought of trying to have those two the same either.
Green Blur with wings.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, I still think they could have done that one better.
But anyway, Repugnus was always my least favorite monster bot, probably because, you know, his G1 toy was cool yet uninspiring when it really come down to it compared to the other monster bots. But we got this guy in hand, and the moment I unwrapped it from the bubble wrap, he is a Hulk. He is thick and...
He looks beefy.
He is beefy. But you know, he's a monster. You know, he turns into a monster. You know, he's also supposed to be big and strong. Here I got him next to an MP28 hot rod, and you can for good size comparison. And you know, he looks like he could pick up hot rod and just crush him with a bear hug. You know, but
give him a high five and he's done for.
He's got some heft to him, and his big beefy look just adds to his monster mode. And I gotta say, you know, I mentioned how MP01, the arch enemy, had a lot of diecast. This guy's got a ton too. The feet are entirely diecast. Those big claws, you could literally stab someone with them. They are sharp. And they are metal.
Boys and girls, do not try this at home.
Yeah.
Please.
And I will just say that all the silver parts that you see on this toy are die-cast metal. So the fangs, the claws, are die-cast metal. Now, there are some plastic covers on the fangs that come out of the side of the head. But the mandibles themselves are indeed die-cast metal. And, you know, a little fun little photo here with the Sharktacons and him picking them up and everything. From the back. Yeah,
blast off apart. I saw the other picture of that one.
Yeah, that was one of Orson's pictures there. Yeah, from the back in robot mode. And then, of course, the head sculpt on this guy. That pouty lip scowl that he has. It is just beautiful, bright yellow with the bright blue eyes, and the black accents on the crest of the head, just absolutely gorgeous. And I love this shot too. The mouth of the monster mode opens up, and there is some limited articulation in the head. It will go left and right, but you got to move the backpack for it to turn that way. And it's also got a slight tilt up and down. But it is, for all intents and purposes, a very, very good update. And I would accept it personally as a masterpiece version of Repugnus. And I after one night of just sitting on my couch and playing with this thing, I went on Captured Prey and ordered mine. I couldn't hesitate on this one. And it's the same price.
Does it have a flint?
No. Unfortunately, it does not spark. That was my lone disappointment with this toy. It does not spark. Now, I don't know if you can see it on the detail. You can't. I can't zoom in on it. But there's a couple places it actually says... Megatooth, on the toy itself, it's got Megatooth, and in I believe one instance of it, they actually misspelled his name on the toy. It was MEAG tooth or something like that.
A little bit of English,
yeah. But very, very well done toy, and I highly recommend it for anybody. And I just noticed that the legs were totally. I totally screwed up on the legs on that shot. But anyway.
Oh,
yeah. What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know.
No sale.
Any of you guys have any thoughts on Megatooth?
Like I said before, it's just with that one, and this is the one I was more excited about than the other. It's just that it looks just like the G1 toy. It really does. And I like the fact that they made it beefier and more proportion than the G1. Yeah, I was really, really hoping to see the nice little review with the Flint and the sparks. So I am a little disappointed in that. But other than that, I think it looks really good. And I think that they better jump on the other two real quick.
Actually, so they are. MB03 is called Phalong, and it is Double Cross. Nice. And MB06 is Grotusque.
Well, you figure they've hit a niche that other companies haven't.
Yes.
And they better jump on it right now because, as we've seen in the past, everyone else is going to jump on it too.
Well, whenever every third-party company out there is doing Dinobots and Constructicons and Predacons out the ass, it is refreshing to see these. I mean, you know, Laser Prime Mold and Monster Bots. And if I'm not mistaken, their fifth release will be Power Master Optimus Prime, which my only beef is the you can see the small robot feet in behind the cab of the Super Mode. Yeah. So yeah, Super Genrai or Power Master Optimus Prime is going to be their fifth release, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
and if it's going to be this quality, sign me up.
The problem is that we run into what we did before. If you're the first person, the first company to put it out, that's great. You're going to start getting money and you're going to start selling. And then when the next company comes in and makes one a little bit better, then you're going to be like, man, I wish I would have waited. So I'm playing devil's advocate here. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great toy. It looks good and everything. But the fact that they're the first boys on the block to do it, I personally, you know, I'm going to hold off. I really am. Because
for the price, I've heard
too many times. I'm just saying, too many times I bought something and then the next one comes along and I'm like, damn, I wish I would have waited. And I don't care if it's $20. You're still going to have buyer's remorse if you want the next best thing.
I do that with Hasbro stuff, though, honestly.
Sometimes the first one's good and the second one sucks. But I'd rather wait. Yeah. How often lately have we had a third-party item that just skyrocketed in price that you can't get at the original price?
Carnifex.
Wait. Yeah. I guarantee if I want it, I'll get it cheaper than it started out with.
I did not
think of any that's increased in value and has held its value up to this point. There has been times where something has increased in value.
They do, but it's usually right at the beginning.
Then it dives completely out.
Exactly. Exactly. So why not wait? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just why not wait until they're all out so you have everything on the table and you have a la carte.
Anything with transfer. I mean, it's very rare that
not
bring
G1.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't wait for a better price, but the quality and everything, it's going to stay the same.
Night Swords did point out that Crossover Gen made the Power Master Prime trailer that went with, I think it was Classics Prime. That was an utter bomb. I actually handled that once. I didn't own it, but I was not impressed with it at all.
I was thinking about getting it because I had a Classics Prime, and I wasn't sure. Then, now that you say that, good thing I didn't get one because I was just unsure about it. I heard a lot of mixed reactions along the community, but I'm thinking I'm not going to get it.
Well, real quick, one of our listeners here, Knight's Sword. Or Knight's Words.
Knight's Swords.
He said, Knight's Words.
Knight's Swords.
Knight's Words. I'm reading it right here. It says the black protector.
How do you spell sword?
Last Rodimus. Yeah, but they also did a knockoff of it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that thing, you know me, I bought two of those. And I saw that when that market went crazy, not just the protector armor, but then the demand for the shattered glass Rodimus went through the roof, and then people wanted the Wild Rider one too. I mean, but then it all kind of went back down, and not to mention, like you mentioned before, there was bootlegs like crazy that were so, like, literally the only way you could tell the difference between the two was like a small little circle on the molded plastic. It was so impossible. Like with any of those, the City Commander one, the Protector
one. The
only
difference basically was the box it came in.
More or less. Yeah. I think the instructions, if I remember correctly, were more photocopy, if I remember.
It was. There was minor. Everyone was focused on the box, and I kept saying, well, what if you were looking at one loose? How would you know? But getting back to my point, I still believe in this market, at least as it is right now. I just don't see the benefit in buying something when it first comes out. And this is the guy that pre-order, sorry. And I do that, and I still kick myself in the head for doing it, because then later I'm like, God dang it, I just lost a bunch of money. But I'll still come on here and tell you what I think, even though I'm not doing what I think, and I say what I should be, and me, my, well, whatever. But you should wait. You should wait and get a la carte. Everything on the table, and figure out
and
what's
if,
there.
And if you miss it, then you miss it. The only thing I've been really pre-ordering anything lately are official masterpieces. Now, I did pre-order these because they're getting ready to come out. Official masterpieces and brain fart. official what masterpieces is? And wow. I totally lost my train of thought.
Is it Transformers we're talking
it
about?
It is Transformers. But,
hopefully.
Oh, combiner pieces, like third-party combiner pieces, because like nothing effect. Annoys me more than waiting to... I did this with the TFC Aerial Bots, which in retrospect, I'm kind of glad I didn't finish it. I mean, it's still a nice one, but I got Blackbird, and by the time I was able to afford the next piece, it had been on the market and disappeared, and I couldn't find it. And then I'm like, screw this, I can't get it for, it was on eBay for a couple hundred bucks. I think it was a Firefly or Fireflight, version. And it was like a couple hundred bucks, and I'm like, screw this, and I sold my Blackbird, and then you saw complete sets go up on eBay for $200. I'm like, at this point, if I want a combiner, I'll pre-order each component. But outside of that,
I know what Brett's going to say, and I'm going to agree with it right away.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I got four of those damn Dino King combiners sitting right here that I paid way too freaking much for, that I'm so pissed about it, I won't even get the other two yet. I won't even get them to complete it. It made me so mad.
Don't be in a hurry.
Now, sit there and say, well, that's because a certain online store did something and blah, 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 whatever. It doesn't matter. The end result is that
they
my
killed the they,
quote unquote investment is little because I could have got it for cheaper. So yes, between that and then you talked about official masterpiece. I mean, my God, how many times I got to talk about that last damn seeker? And I'm not gonna say its name, but it's a two piece of crap. And had I waited for reviews, I never would have bought it, never. And that's official. So yes, when the last and we got one other one coming up. And guess what? I didn't pre-order it. Why? Because I'm not going to get stuck again. All right? So I don't care what it is. Hasbro, official, whatever. In my opinion, I would rather wait for the reviews. Because the likelihood of it jumping up after initial release is very slim.
Not to mention, like what Duran said, he waited to then buy the individual limb, but ultimately in the end, cheaper box sets ended coming out. And that has been the case with almost every single combiner team up to this point from third party guys. There's always the pieced out individuals that are expensive, and then they end up doing a box set later. I know that happened with Hercules. I know that happened with Giant. I believe, which the one you're referring to, Uranus, I think it was the one that you were originally trying. Like, same thing happened with them. They did a box set that then had a better face on it. Like, we've seen that so often. And then on the flip side of it, official masterpiece, I used to run and gun pre-order right away with Masterpiece, until Asia started doing like these, like, oh, hey, because I remember like a good example was MP Primal came out. I pre-ordered it. And then it's like, hey, if you pre-order this one, you get the banana box, or when you pre-order that one. You know, so, and me, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I love those, like, a good example is MP10. Okay. I own the original Japanese one, and then the American one came out, and I'm like, I'm not going to get that. And then I think it was Robot Kingdom had, oh, if you get our MP10 American version, you get this Vector Sigma.
Yeah, BBTS had that one too.
Yeah, a little die casting, and I'm like, oh, well, here we go, pull the trigger. Like, those little baubles, those little Amazon exclusive, you know, whatever you want to call them, extras, whether it be a Bumblebee.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Or
that's all they
MP
are.
Prowl, who had the...
Yeah, the shoulder cannon.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, it always, like, if I had a guy that I always pre-order from, the second someone else has the extra bauble, all of a sudden I'm shifting all my money to that. So I never rush to it. I mean,
I'm really trying to remember. I think it was South Park that did it. And they were doing the joke about the Chipokemon.
Oh, Pokemon. Yep.
This one has this. It's shiny. I got to get that now. Yeah, but this one has this. I got to get that now. And
Simpsons did the joke.
Show us something shiny in front of us, and we're gonna.
I think it was Headmaster Don that that suggested this as a alternate topic in the group, but and I want to touch on this a little bit before we go into our main topic of discussion here. Masterpiece figures, we're moving on from third party, even though third party kind of does this too, because going back to Carnifex, I didn't want Carnifex for the simple reason that it wasn't a Godmaster like the original Overlord. I wanted Giga and Mega, and now they're putting out a upgrade set where you can have Giga and Mega and a G1 style head for Carnifex, and I'm like, I would have been all over that if they had included it to begin with.
Yes.
You know, now official masterpieces are starting to do this. All you got to do is like look at MP Ironhide. You know, you get released first with a coin, and then the second release he has an added drill as a little extra.
Or they include some kind of little die cast figure, which is now becoming a thing.
Inferno now had one.
Any little trinket.
It's always, that's what's happening now is they know that right away the pre-orders are going to be huge. The if there's the Rolls Royce of Transformers, it's the Masterpiece Takara line. That is what gets everyone's attention and most people's money. Anytime people go to a BotCon, TFCon, whatever, that's always like they're the top of their list. I'm looking for MP whatever or MP like third party thing. It's always those two things, and everything trickles down from there. And they know that. The Takara knows, Takara Tommy knows that, Hasbro knows that. So they know that the initial releases, you're not going to get any extras. You're going to get the base figure, and maybe some of these Asia exclusives, you might get a coin. They kind of are stopping to do that now. But in general, that's how it is. And then when the pre-orders have died down, and sometimes the month after release, then they go, okay, we're going to do a second print of this figure, and now it's going to come with this extra, and they know they're going to make a second sale.
Yep.
Because I know a lot of people will probably go, okay, I guess I could sell my current Ironhide that I got my fix out of, and I could try to get this one. It's happened tons of times it's happened. The same thing happens with even mass retail figures. I mean, we'll have a Henkei line, and then they'll take certain figures from the Henkei line, and this is all on the Takara side of things, and then re-release them in better colors and do them in box sets or do them in weird kind of ways that somehow are even better than the Henkei releases. So they make you buy a figure twice on the same side of the ocean. Even.
Yeah, now that you say the Henkei, I was thinking like the Autobot Specialist and the Decepticon Specialist.
Yeah, those two sets. Yep, where it's like... Where it was like, if you were an American, you bought your Hound from America with the Ravage, and then you saw the Japanese version, you're like, whoa, that's even more better. And then you picked up the Henkei one, and now then, you know,
they're doing this whole three-pack thing.
Yeah, now fast forward a couple of years, and now they're like, hey, let's try to even top that one now. So it's just, I mean, there's always that strategy. And again, classics and Henkei, that's kind of in the down spiral now. It's not as the focus anymore because of how much Masterpiece is putting out new product every year now. Mm-hmm. But since Masterpiece is always the focus of every fan and kind of like the coveted item of every character, they know that they could make two. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm looking at mine too. It's just, it's...
And them guys on there.
Well, look at Combiner Wars. I mean, you had, you know, all these different combiners come out, and then later on we got the box sets, and now you've got not only the G2 colors, but you've got the artwork, you know, the large lithograph, you know, in there as well.
Well, I feel that when it comes to the Combiner War stuff, I think for the time being, that's what we'll be seeing of those molds for a while now, because now the focus really has went towards the Titan Masters and all that mm-hmm. headmaster-ish kind of play pattern. Yeah. But, I mean, we're still seeing on the Takara side that we're still getting repaints here. And we got a Valdigus or Baldigus, however you want to pronounce it. That's coming soon. So, I mean, I'm still surprised, you know, we haven't gotten more from...
Well, heck, for that matter, we were talking about, you know, value and all that a little bit ago. I'm noticing, like, trying to get a lot of the earlier limbs, like the Aerobots and the Stunicons. Yeah. You know, you look at, like, Firefly or Dragstrip. I see Dragstrip, $35, $45 for a deluxe, loose.
Same with Alpha Bravo. He's going...
Yeah.
Because that's...
And nobody wanted him.
Yeah. Nobody well, Alpha wants Bravo, him. Now he's...
That was actually the only ones that I actually picked up of the American releases was the oddball guys, the Alpha Bravo, the Rook. The Rook was a great mold. But I mean, but those were the ones that I knew that, you know, because I was going to go with the big Takara box sets because I wanted my, you know, perfect figures.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still wanted to have the oddball sixth members, if you want to call them that, you know, so...
I was actually enjoying the new characters. I mean, you know, I hated to lose the originals, but then they gave us, you know, Slingshot and
we got Rook out of that.
Right.
And Rook is like ignoring Rook's that it's even figure. Supposed to be. Yeah, even, it's not even supposed to be part of like Defense or. But yet we got this amazing engineered figure that later on used in other toys, like used for Tarantulas and used for what's his name there?
Swindle, Hound.
Impactor, you know, from
Impactor,
you know, like it just worked so well with so many. It's like I almost feel like you know, it was used for even that the box set in Takara when they had to do a breakdown based off of the Prime design.
Yeah,
you know, not the breakdown. Roller.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Roller.
Yeah, that's what it was.
You know, like Evil Roller, if you will.
Right.
So, but I mean, like, it's just it. I almost feel like that mold could be used for anything, and that came out of a non-existent character. You know, so. Yeah.
I mean, and when they did that, you know, I was actually hoping we would get more original characters, new characters to go side by side with our heritage, you know, G1 combiners that, you know, we've loved for 20 plus years. I was expecting more original combiners, not necessarily just, you know, Optimus Prime and then White Optimus Prime, you know?
That is the one thing that rarely this Classics line really has done up to this point, with the exceptions of probably their mini-con price point that they had when they used to do those box sets with Kmart and stuff. In general, the Classics-esque line never made original characters. It was always just throwing back to whatever existed in G1 or a homage with a different copyrighted name. But with the exception, again, before people like jump in the comments, with, you know, obviously the mini-con stuff and that price point, they were able to have a little more fun with that and create some really interesting characters like Overcharge, the taxi, which I really liked. But
Overcharge.
Look it up. It's
I know what you're talking about.
But anyways, it just, you know, like that was the one time that we got something that was a larger price point that really was an original character and an original mold, not just a repaint, and just brought so much to it. Totally.
Well, you know, I think we've kind of beat this one over the head enough.
It's fun though.
Let's move on to our main topic of discussion tonight. Now, it was posed, let me go back to the original question here. Carrie Ponagopoulos posted in our Facebook group, original characters such as Optimus Prime originally came about came about by popular demand, but now the character's death and resurrection is almost a must for every series. Also, yep. Bumblebee was originally a normal speaking character, but the Bay films introduced him as a mute, and that carried to his portrayal in Transformers Prime. Also, Decepticons have been written as more sympathetic characters as of late, with almost every new incarnation, with the exception of the Bay movies. I thought these were some interesting things. You know, if we go back to Generation 1, you know, and it's been said many times, especially here on the show. I think Flint Dilley even said it, you know, whenever they started writing the animated movie for 1986, they were given this big long list. Okay, these are all the toys that are being discontinued. We want to push these toys, so kill these characters off. Or basically write them out. Well, Optimus Prime was on there. And, of course, he bites the bullet in the 86 movie. Spoilers!
Holy yes. crap! Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes!
Oh, no.
Shh. He bites the bullet.
Child is destroyed.
And it did. It apparently destroyed a lot of children's psyche back in the day. And
Peter Cullen didn't even know about it. He was thumbing through the script at their first or one of their first rehearsals, and he's thumbing through, you know, pages ahead, and he's standing next to Frank Welker. He sees that and he says, "Hey Frank, I'm getting whacked."
Yeah, and it created so much fan backlash that that they had no choice but to bring his character back in the cartoon. It's happened so many other times in Transformers. I mean, in a way, in Beast Wars, he was kind of primal, was killed off, or kind of come back, and then he comes back in a new form, you know, reformatted. And then, for that matter, most of the fusers and everything. So,
actually, the fun fact is, every single incarnation of Optimus Prime in animation, with the exception of Car Robots, Robots in Disguise Optimus Prime, has died and come back in some shape or form.
Has even Energon? Animated
Energon too? Yep, he died in the Armada series.
I know Combiner Armada. Wars. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Well, that's all the same Prime. That's
Wars. I know Cybertron. He didn't.
No, but it's still the same Optimus, technically. Yeah. So that one died in Armada. The Prime one had his quick, you know, overnight death. Same thing with, I mean, I think Animated Prime died and came back in the same episode. Like, he turned gray and died, and then Sari used the key. Like, every single Prime has died at some point and came back to various effects of, you know, sympathy. Most of them are just, he comes back so quickly that there's not even time to really feel it. Where, I mean,
well, even look in the Robots in Disguise 2 line right now, or cartoon right now, he starts off as a ghost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's that one right now, where it's just, even that character, there's no version, with the exception of the RID one, that really has passed away and come back.
Generation 2.
Well, no, I'm saying animation.
Yeah, the CG. He drives down the road, slams into Ramjet, and
if you're gonna use that,
it counts. It's animation.
Well, it was his interaction with, what was it, Timmy or Tommy or Tommy Kennedy. Yeah, it was so terrible. He just had
technically that one. He was rebuilt as a Power Master. So yeah. And then he's gonna transform your day into an adventure.
Yeah, but the death of G1 Prime, it even transcended the Transformers brand, in the fact that, you know, Nightsword's pointed out, Hasbro hastily rewrote the G.I. Joe movie so that Duke just passed into a coma, not died.
They flipped the animation cell, so the snake didn't hit his heart, it hit the other side, and they flipped it. And then, but you see, like, there's no consistency with that. It's on one side, then it's on the other, the damage. And then there's the famous dubbed over scene twice of, he went into a coma.
How convenient. But, you know, it has become kind of a recurring theme in Transformers for Prime to die and come back.
die and come back
and die and come back. and then Bumblebee. I mean, he starts out as a talking character, and then along come the Bay movies, and all of a sudden he beeps and boops and
uses radio.
Uses radio. Yeah.
Now, at the end of the first film in 2007, he spoke. Yeah. Says, "I wish to stay with the boy." So he spoke. Ratchet fixed it.
Yeah.
On temporary. So I'm thinking from then on out, he just chose not to speak.
There's a line in Revenge of the Fallen where he says he's playing it off. And it's a throwaway line, which to this day still makes me wonder, like, I don't know, maybe. See, the thing is, the first movie was really done with the intent that this could go either way. This could totally bomb and go nowhere with it. I mean, that's why animated was the way it was, because they didn't know that anything could be going forward from this. So, I mean, there's a lot of examples of that, though, where something major happens in the mainline fiction that totally takes the character and goes in another direction, and that kind of becomes the staple of the character. I know in the case of, like, let's say Prowl being a ninja, you know, and then that kind of, like, you know, with later designs of Prowl going down the way, they start incorporating that. You look at even, like, you always look at different continuities of characters. You look at, like, Wheeljack and Prime and how he's more of a bounty hunter dude with swords, where he totally wasn't like that before. Visually, still kind of the same, but character-wise wasn't. You look at even people like Red Alert, the way he was handled in Armada and how that design stayed consistent for 6 years before, you know, completely ignoring what the Red Alert character really looked like back in the day and what kind of personality he had. There's a lot of those kind of things. There was a Bulkhead before there was Bulkhead. Mm-hmm. And that was just a name that was used in Energon, and it was associated with a green robot that actually kind of was more of an old man Springer kind of throwback in Super Link. But then that Bulkhead came around, and that became the staple of what a Bulkhead character is. Same thing with Blackout. There was a Blackout Micromaster. Mm-hmm. He was like a half jet of a piece of nothing. But
now he was a helicopter in the movie.
That movie Blackout came out and changed what we know of Blackout. Same thing applies to Barricade.
Energon Blackout.
There was the Energon Blackout.
And Energon Barricade.
You know, and there was an Energon Barricade, but Barricade originally was a blue and pink, you know, F1 car. Then he was just pretty much a name throw into what would be the onslaught of Energon, which would be the main piece of Bruticus Maximus, and then became a police car. And now whenever there's a Barricade toy, it's got to be evil police car, you know, because that kind of took that character name and ran with it. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. And to this day, it's still happening, to the point that, like, for us, we will always associate something like, let's say, Steeljaw with a cassette tape with Blaster. But the way that the RID series is handling the character of Steeljaw and the name and all of that kind of stuff, it could go in another direction. And if it resonates enough with the fandom and the writers, it might permanently kind of stay like that for the longest time. I'm trying to think of
Steeljaw. Yeah, that kind of reminded me of the little Best or One Step from AOE. I think they kind of brought that in too.
That was the first time
we got a Decepticon version of it that was a blue wolf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then afterwards, they kind of, it evolved into what we have in RID right now. But I'm just trying to think, like, there's a lot of examples.
Human Alliance. He was with the Red Wrecker. Leadfoot.
That was the bulldog
or whatever.
Yeah, the bulldog version. Okay. I always thought it was like a mechanical version of Bone Crusher, the bulldog in the movies. But there's always been so much of that. I mean, to give an example too, like Beast Wars was very good with, you know, kind of taking pre-existing names of characters and doing their own spin on it, and then it becoming like kind of the staple of that. Where, like, you think of Scorponok. You know, and for the longest time, Scorponok was always associated with a headmaster and the base and the city. And then Beast Wars came around and brought a character of that same name, or a name like Dinobot. And now it's like, no, Dinobot the character, Dinobot the team. You know, like, what's the more famous Dinobot? Or even, you know, there's Scourge. And I almost feel like it's the most appropriate name for Scourge ever. There was Scourge that was a hornet. Not a hornet, but kind of like a locust, you know, in Beast Wars, which is almost
Dragon from Cybertron, Beast Planet. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that's just it. There's so much of that. I'm trying to think of another one that was a really good example.
RID.
Well, even in Armada, the name Cyclonus, you know, there was a Cyclonus character in Armada, and the name Cyclonus was more appropriate. Helicopter, Cyclonus.
Cyclonus started off as, you know, the most badass Decepticon second in command, and now he's like, you know, the goofball of a Decepticon.
Helicopter with arms.
Yeah, but, it shows that there was that evolution. But that was when Transformers was trying to find itself, and it was always reinventing itself before the movies came around.
It forgot to read its own instructions.
Didn't Starscream get changed quite a bit? He's almost always been like the second in command, but always treasonous.
A bit, Armada Starscream.
With the exception of Armada Starscream.
Starscream actually was a little bit also of how the way the character was handled in Japan, and I'm talking about G1. If you go back and watch, the easiest way is to find the Japanese dub of the original 86 movie, but if you watch old G1 Season 1 Episodes 2 in Japanese, if you go back and listen to that character, he was given always a very... I don't want to say effeminate, but a very pretty boy kind of voice actor. And those were like the early seeds of that with that character, combined with the fact that he had a very strong female fandom. I mean, it exists in America too, but in Japan also. He had a very strong female fandom over there. So Armada Starscream kind of was the, you know, the culmination of that, where you had like strong female fandom, was voiced by a pretty boy voice actor in Japan. So they ended up creating this character. And, oh, hey, you know, joins the Autobots, kind of conflicted. You know, we're in our head, we're hearing, I think it was Michael Dobson who voiced him, or Paul Dobson. It was one of the Dobsons voiced him. But we're hearing that Starscream-esque kind of voice. But you watch Micron Legend, the Japanese dub, and they kind of handled him in a very different way. And, you know, having that connection with Alexa or Alexis, and, you know, having that same thing where it's, you know, oh, she made him a scarf that he puts around his sword and stuff. You know, there was that huge connection with that, and then later the necklace, reinventing the character completely. Granted, Energon just totally swept that under the rug, and that was the end of that. But the point is, there's been a lot of times where characters have been totally just redesigned when they were something that really wasn't, you know, a good example.
Inferno.
Inferno, Inferno, especially from Beast Wars, but Beast Wars was more just, Beast Wars was a different time. The Beast Wars was, look, you know, Transformers is dying, G2 didn't work out for us, you know, we're going to give this to Kenner and see what happens. And I mean, you know, they were given chicken and they made chicken salad, so they were able to do something with it. And, you know, regardless of, you know, they weren't worried about, oh, hey, what if we call this name Scorponok? Wouldn't people who read the original Marvel comics care about this? No, they didn't have that kind of thinking back then. And I mean, thank God they didn't, because they did something that they would never do today. I almost, the sheer thought of doing an entire cast today of a series completely based on brand new original characters would never happen today. I don't think Hasbro has the balls to do that today. Like, they would never, like, go, you know, we're going to do a series and everyone's going to be an original character. No one's going to be a homage to anything old. It's all going to be new people. They would never do that. Now it's got to have a Prime. It's got to have a Megatron. It's got to have a Bumblebee. It's got to have, like, you know, they'll throw in, even, like, R.I.D. was the closest we got away from the status quo. And it still, ultimately, in the end, had everything all over again.
Pretty much. You know?
Like, you know, like, we're like, oh, hey, no Prime at the beginning. That didn't last too long. You know, that didn't last too long. Megatronus shows, I mean, I don't want to spoil, but I mean, the point is that a lot of that old stuff, you know, I mean, not to spoil, but I'm pretty sure everyone saw a Starscream toy in the stores, you know, so, I mean, everyone kind of shows up again. And that's kind of the status quo, which is like, I'd love to see something that's like Beast Wars, that takes old ideas, but gives it a completely new spin, completely just brand new take on. That's why a lot of people were really receptive to animated for the longest time, because it was a brand new world in a lot of ways, and, you know, just reinterpretations of the characters.
Well, look at Optimus Prime and Transformers Animated, and you know, that goes to the very core of what we're talking about in this episode tonight, in that they take these take characters and evolve them, even though it might not be the same base character that we're like animated Optimus Prime is not G1 Optimus Prime, but he's still Optimus Prime. And whenever this series came out, they reinvented Optimus Prime, and he was no longer the grizzled old veteran, the wise old veteran. He was a young maverick leader of a small group.
He was very Optimus Primal, which is what a lot of people... I mean, that whole show in general, you see a lot of parallels to Beast Wars with that, with Bumblebee to Cheetor, and the same thing even Rhinox to Bulkhead. There's a lot of parallels there of what worked with Beast Wars so well from a character development, from a storytelling standpoint, that people saw in animated that resonated so well. Optimus Primal wasn't supreme commander of the Maximals. He was just another, you know, cog in the wheel, so to speak. You know, like Rat Trap quoted it in the first episode, it's your first time on the job as leader. You know what I mean? Like, mind he was saying it snidely, but it's just that was the reality of it. Is that character also was, you know, he wasn't leader, and neither was animated. Animated was like, you know, especially animated kind of, you know, flips on our head the concept of what we know of ranking over there, where Magnus is, you know, is the highest rank, and Prime is like a dime a dozen.
One thing I would love to see them bring back from animated, and I just happen to think about this, you know, if nothing else, I would love to see them bring back in some form the character of Sari. Because, you know, little girl at first, you know, seemed a bit annoying, made silly jokes and that. But then, you know, kind of like you find out, spoilers for those who haven't seen the episodes from 10 years ago.
hard to believe that's 10 years ago. We find out
she's actually Cybertronian, and we never really get into the full explanation as to, you know, what all was involved with her creation and what all she's capable of. You know, on down the line, you know, are there others like her, other models, you know, that be activated? I mean, there's all sorts of things that you're left wondering about that we never got to explore when animated ended.
Well, Sari especially was one of those examples of just how do we take, you know, human characters and using the idea of humans and Transformers. I mean, that we've seen already with Pretenders and Alice in the movie continuity. So, I mean, it's if you would want to, it's kind of like, because when you say like you want something more like Sari, I mean, as much as I don't want to say like Transformers 5, you know, might give you that younger female character, main character demographic that we might be getting, but then you also want to have that kind of more the link to Cybertronian technology with a human looking character. Like, I mean, what do you want to return exactly? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that you really want to return that you'd like to see more of?
Well, just to more explore, you know, the character, you know, as she turned out to have actually been a robot, you know, is she completely Cybertronian? Is she a full Sumdac creation based on what was reverse engineered from Megatron's head? I mean,
well, no, it was established already that she was a protoform that scanned a human. That was just more or less it.
Okay, like I said, 10 years ago, you know, I've slept since then.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
Even once so, or twice. You know, a character like that, or another one I always kind of enjoyed was Kicker from Energon. Not so much the whiny part, but like his
ability, concept. No, I agree with Kicker.
Yeah, his ability to sense Energon, you know, as a human.
There was a lot of stuff that was in Energon that I felt was wasted. That series. Oh, yeah. And because the problem with Energon was specifically Superlink was the original writer left halfway through the series and he let his wife take over. And the series kind of forgot what it was trying to do from character development halfway through it. It was just kind of like, hey, Starscream's back and he's a ghost. Maybe if he sees Alexis, he's going to remember his past. Nope. Hey, Cyclonus is an Autobot and so is Ironhide and they're really questioning, you know, their allegiance now to the Autobots. Maybe, you know, there might be some kind of double turn.
Nope.
Hey, Wing Saber, when he was Wing Dagger, you know, his friend was killed and he wants to get revenge on Laser Wave, Shock Blast. I'm going by the Japanese names. I'm going to go back and forth here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's going to get revenge a la Depth Charge, you know, chasing after Rampage. Nope. Like, it's just there was so many plot points that were created for this show and character development that just kind of got lost in the tussle. And then the series just kind of ended. And even in the case with Kicker, there was supposed to be a lot more stuff with Kicker. There was supposed to be a lot more stuff with Alpha Q and his origin.
Say that again. Find out who named Alpha Quintesson.
Well, it was originally Alpha Q, and it was straight up Alpha Q. It became Alpha Quintesson when they brought it over to the localization of the the Hasbro version.
Sure, but just to have characters in a children's cartoon saying Alpha Q, over and over again. You can't help but laugh at that.
There was this whole, I remember reading it online somewhere like years ago, where there was supposed to be this big explanation where it was actually a she, and it was a princess from a planet that was destroyed by Unicron, and a lot of that stuff wasn't ultimately used in the end. And I mean, like that was a very complex character that never got fleshed out. There was a lot of weird stuff that Energon was one of those series that had a lot of potential, and ultimately nothing came of it.
Which is a shame.
Princess Alpha Q.
Yeah.
Sounds like Bowser making a threat. Moving on.
I don't know who these people are. Brett, you've been quiet for a little bit. Your thoughts on any characters that stand out to you that started out one way and then evolved over the years into a different character?
Nope.
I kind of got two.
Okay, what about you?
Nope.
The main one I've been... Now that I'm thinking of it, is Chrome Dome and Rewind, with the way they're doing their whole romance thing in the, you know, More Than Meets the Eye.
They're not gay. Okay. They're because they're robots.
Yeah, that's. I think it wasn't really just, you know, trying something new. I think it was just trying to adapt to today's society, with this whole LGBTQ thing going on.
It's James Roberts' vision more of the characters. He's talked about it quite a bit, that he's always had in his mind
some sort of romance going.
Because he used to be part of an old newsletter group called mail listing group called Transmasters, and way back in the UK days and stuff. And he pretty much said that, like, you know, he had his own visions of how he imagined a lot of these characters that at the time he wasn't able to see the Headmaster's Japanese cartoon or see Zone. Like, that's why, like, his interpretation of Diatlas, let's say, and I don't want to talk too much on it because a lot of people haven't read the books yet and stuff, because, you know, so many people I talk to, they're like, oh, I'm waiting for trades. And I'm like, oh, man, geez, you know, so it's really tough to talk about.
Spoilers.
Yeah, there's a lot. But the point is that his vision of Diatlas, his vision of Star Saber, comes more from what his the term is called fanon, his own fanon of the characters. And it's the same thing, like, cuz I mean, if you watch, let's say, the Headmaster's cartoon series, the Japanese one, you see that Chrome Dome kind of had an interest in RC, you know, ask her to a dance and stuff like that. I believe it was episode 13 or 14. You know, where, you know, there was, you know, and again, there's no heterosexual or homosexual when it comes to robots, but there was an interest there in the female designed specific robot shaped robot that was pink, you know. So and then James Roberts had the concept of Sparkmates and stuff like that, where, I mean, hey, for all we know, I mean, it's a comic book. For all we know, maybe Rewind is a girl in that one. We don't know. We never heard the voice. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, like, you could always say, well, you know, if the argument that could always be is, well, oh, why do you have to draw them to look like this to make them look feminine? Then the argument could also be, well, maybe Rewind is a chick. You know,
do they have to have arms and legs? Why do they have to have eyes?
Why can't it just be a stick with a mouth? You know, like, just.
Yeah,
I do love
signal,
the
why can't it be Signal Answer?
I do love the Ripped Apparel t-shirt that they made. My girlfriend actually bought it at TFCon USA a few
shout
months back.
Shout out to Sergio, since he works there, too.
Yeah, shout out to Sergio. But the My Mechanical Romance with Chrome Dome and Rewind on there, I thought that was pretty neat. I like that shirt.
Yeah. I like the idea, you know, the concepts of those types of relationships. I think it's an interesting spin that hasn't really been explored too much.
It's been done in Transformers before. It's
sure,
been done,
but not a lot.
In the Japanese version of Beast Wars, you had Tigatron and the male
Air Razor,
right. And that existed. And granted, you know, it hasn't been something that has been prolonged and brought up again. If anything, Japan kind of self-retconned itself and made Air Razor a female character throughout the years. I know that.
And was it Cyclonus and was it Swerve or Tailgate?
Tailgate.
Tailgate. Yeah. Cyclonus and Tailgate was another one. It's an interesting thing. You know, I wouldn't mind them, you know, exploring that, you know, a bit more. You know, well, I mean, what kinds of you know, storylines could you know evolve from that? You know, any maybe any triangle relationships? You know, competition like we saw with Hot Rod and Springer.
Well, especially the way that I see it always is that, you know, to me, the one thing that I think Transformers never, and it's a top, it's a whole other topic, but I've always felt that Transformers never really needed to dive too much in that sexual kind of thing. But at the same time, there could always be strong bonds between characters.
Well, you know what I mean? Why does it have to be? Why does any relationship have to be sexual? Just because?
But the problem is way too many times people bring it in that direction, full steam. Well, it's just they have to be sexual. And to me, I don't feel that it has to be like that. There's, you know, you could see the bromance that exists between Rat Trap and Dinobot. You could see the bromance that exists between Knockout and Breakdown in the Prime series. You know, but when I say bromance, I'm not talking on a sexual way. I'm talking about two guys that just got each other's backs and know each other really well and care about each other. But it doesn't have to involve, you know, robotic penises. You know what I mean?
Scattershot.
There you go. Exactly. I should pull it out.
I mean, that's what
It seems in a lot of various you know series, you know, outside of, you know, Transformers, you know, for, you know, eons, it seems, you know, there's always, you know, almost like preset gender roles or gender based roles, like, you know, the female characters are almost always, you know, the helpless ones that need saving or are somehow not as capable as, you know, the heroic main male lead character.
Well, before RC came onto the scene, we had, you know, Alita One and her crew that were holding the fort for 4 million years.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
On Cybertron. I mean, with Alpha Trine. That's the assumption. I mean, that's the narrative that was given to us. And alternatively, the first ever Decepticon female, even that one's a little vague. I mean, Nightbird? Was an ass kicker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, that narrative in Transformers, and, you know, we use the term female Transformer loosely, but, you know, that has existed where those characters could be independent. We're talking 1984 or 1985.
Kind of a Princess Leia type.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially since that was kind of...
Grab the blaster and start shooting, you know, on your own.
Which is the irony, because the Princess Leia character, which was RC in terms of a visual, was probably the one that was mishandled the worst in terms of, you know, she wasn't
The headmasters.
Oh, no, well, that's Japanese writing.
That's true.
Japanese writing's a whole... She became a secretary in Headmasters. Yeah. Literally became a secretary. Like, that was her job. And to watch over Daniel and Wheelie, which is, again, literally a quote in the series. You know, so... But that's a whole – that's Japanese writing. That's a different different culture, different
yes.
You know, different standpoint, different view. I mean, that it's – whenever you're watching Transformers, you have to understand when it comes – you know, you could watch any of the Takara 3 series, as I like to call them, and people will always be kind of confused by the way the writing is or the storytelling of the characters. But you got to understand where – you know, the time it was written in and the country that it was written by.
Well,
you know?
A lot of people are confused simply because it's got the same style of animation, same sound effects in a lot of ways, same animation studio essentially, and they expect it to be just a continuation, and it's not. It's entirely.
Well, it is a continuation. It's just it's done by a different studio. You know what I mean? Like Beast Wars is a continuation of the G1 continuity, but it was done in Canada. You know what I mean? And had a different kind of writing style. It had all Canadian, literally all Canadian voice actors. You know, like it was just its own thing. And we were introduced through that characters like Black Arachnia that took no shit from nobody, literally. You know.
Yep.
Rat Trap.
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of female characters, you know what I mean? And even someone like Airazor, when first introduced, totally, like, you know, took it to Pterosaur to pieces. So, like, there are very, very few times were those ever damsel in distress characters. I mean, the only one kinda was Transmutate. And even then, when she had to put up, she really destroyed stuff. But she was the one that was kind of the tug of war character between two people. Yeah. But in general, you know, it's the modern narrative of how characters are written. You see it now with Windblade. You see it now with how, you know, even the modern version of RC and the Mortar Meets the Eye continuity, the IDW continuity, and how she's handled. Although that was more Simon Furman's retconning and stuff. Again, I don't want to get too much into the comics,
like,
but
a vast predatory, you know, bird.
Yeah, literally. And it never ends.
Yes.
Never ends. But yeah, like, Furmanisms for anyone who's like, what the hell are they talking about? But yeah, it's that's always been an evolution of that. And we see that more. I mean, again, even with animated, like RC coming with swords was kind of a mild evolution of what was going on with the IDW comics with that character at first, specifically with the Spotlight. And how she kind of had like energy blades and stuff. And I mean, her becoming a motorcycle was something that was way before the movies, was something that Energon started. Energon.
Yeah.
You know, Energon's like, hey, RC is a motorcycle because we want something that's skinny but doesn't have the bulkiness of a car. And of course, the engineering didn't exist back then like it does today. Now we have Energon RC. We have RC as a car, no problem. So, you know, but then that Energon RC spawned movie RC being like that, and a lot of different iterations, and even third party RCs that turn into motorcycles.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I remember back whenever Energon RC came out, and I was just totally jazzed by the fact that we got an RC figure. And I was just so amazed how RC-ish this toy was. And then I want to say it was back at BotCon. On one of the dealer tables, I actually saw an Energon RC for the first time in years. I mean, I haven't owned one in years. And I picked it up, and compared to what we have now, I'm like, this toy's crap. I used to think this was like the pinnacle of RC at the time, you know?
Well, especially Energon, in a lot of ways, coming off of Armada, was the closest we got at the time as a classic series. Yes. Because Energon brought us a lot of classics characters in modern interpretations, and Inferno, a grapple through the character of Roadblock.
Wing Saber, Star Saber.
I mean, the behind me is practically the whole line here. I mean, Scorponok, Rodimus, Toe Line is kind of our prototype to what be an Ironhide down the line. We got, again, the Starscream mold. We go to all the combiners, the Devastator, the Bruticus, the Superion Maximus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got the
Downshift is Wheeljack.
Yeah, Downshift is Wheeljack, who was called Wheeljack, a wonderful
20th anniversary line.
It was very well done, and that's what it was. It was literally, if you weren't looking to, at the time, Alternators and Vinyl Tech to be your classics like Transformer series, which were modern interpretations of the old characters, Energon really was that. And like, I mean,
Transformers' greatest hits,
more or less. I mean, we got even there was another one too that was up to that point, which was Alpha Q.
Alpha there Q we go again.
But it shows that there was an effort at the time to kind of modernize a lot of those characters and new changes and new twists. And. And that RC toy, the funny thing about it is in Japan, it was called Ariel. And looking back now, when you look at the head of that RC toy, it actually looks more like Ariel than
two,
it does
G1.
RC. Yeah, like the G1 Ariel. And, I mean, it's they ended
who became Alita 1, right?
Yeah, it became Alita, exactly. So, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, I could go on forever about Energon. Sure. Energon was a very, very interesting series in production by Studio.
I enjoyed it. And I still say that Titan's Return, Sentinel Prime, there's an awful strong resemblance to Omega Supreme from Energon.
I could see that.
Just saying.
I could see a repaint like that for sure.
Yeah. A couple things to remold. Obviously, the repaint. Yeah, I could see that.
And it's a headmaster already. So.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah, that works too. They could just like,
get it.
Make the face perfect.
Well, anybody else have anything on along these lines about character development and evolution throughout different series?
I just want to briefly mention. I noticed we brought up Scorponok a few odd times. I've seen for years, and I still see to this day, every once in a while, somebody will call the character Scorponox with an X.
Oh gosh,
it's not Scorponox. It never has been G1 or any of that.
That is a small pet peeve of mine. Whenever I see somebody... And the thing is I'll see it in G1 forums and everything. People will say will type out Scorponox or say Scorponox. His name never was Scorponox. Where are you getting that from?
It's not a...
If you can remember...
East Coast American twang thing? No, it's not that.
It's like if you can remember Grotusque or Repugnus or something like that, why can't you remember Scorponok? It's a simple name.
It's not Roadblocks.
Yeah.
It's just Roadblock.
Yeah. it would be the same as me saying Optimus Primes.
Grimlocks.
Yeah.
Grimlocks. I knew a guy, I swear... This was like years ago. I knew a guy when the Bay movies came out, and he was talking to me. He's like, "Oh, I love Transformers," and he always called Optimus Prime Optimus Prime. And I never wanted to correct him because I thought it was so funny. It's like, "Oh, I love Optimus Prime," and I'm like, "Is it like a mix of Rodimus and Optimus? Like what the?" Anyways, stupid thing that popped in my head.
It could be worse. My dad always used to call it Optimus.
Shout out to you, Lance Optimus.
Optimus. That reminds me. I had a friend in middle school. Whenever we were kids and G1 came out, he kept calling Cyclonus Cyclonius.
Cyclonius.
He always kept inserting an I in there, and I'm like, "There's no I in there. It's Cyclonus."
Well, it doesn't sound bad.
No, it doesn't.
That's a little more regal.
Yeah.
I want to say there was one. I can't remember what it was. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Very Roman sounding.
Sounds like he should be leading the 300.
Yeah.
Not bad.
But I believe that'll wrap up tonight's discussion and everything. Unless anybody else has anything else they want to talk about.
How thank you.
No, thank you. I'm...
Okay, just throwing that out there.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah. Maybe Insane Galvatron would be enjoying that or something. I don't know. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody who's joined in the discussion tonight on YouTube, on Facebook. We had some great comments on there. I want to thank everybody for coming on there. Check out our website, tftalk.net. For all the latest on TFYLP and Transformers information. Now, it seemed like there was something else important that I was wanting to bring up, and I can't remember.
Brain fart again?
It's total brain fart. Patreon? Jack, we mentioned Patreon at the top of the show, Patreon. But I'll bring it up again. If you like what we do and... want to help us out and continue to improve our production values and help cover our server fees, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TFYLP. It's really important. Every little bit counts, and it helps us just keep going because we've been doing this for, the podcast started originally in 2010, so 6 years. Been TFYLP for over four now, and we just keep growing. And the more episodes we got, the more people we have. Technology expands. We need to keep going with the times, and it costs money. And up until this past year, up until this year, it was just little old me doing that out of my pocket. Well, it got so. I just can't do it anymore by myself. And we ask for help from the fans. It's not, a requirement, but you can always enjoy TFYLP for free. But it helps us. And we truly, truly appreciate everyone that has donated and continues to donate each month.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And also, as like I mentioned at the top of the show, our Twitter, at TFYLP. And our Facebook group/TFYLP. Join up on there and talk about all the latest Transformers news, pictures. You can sell stuff. and also talk about TFYLP. Now, I also want to point out, and I've been saying also a lot, I know that. I want to ask everybody, if you enjoy TFYLP, on our anywhere you consume this podcast, whether it be audio version or a video version, if you do it on the video version that you're watching right now here on the YouTube channel, go down there and click on the subscribe button, like us, share us, absolutely. That lets other people know that you like us and that we're worth listening to and watching. Also on, there I go again, also on iTunes and Google Play, Double Twist, subscribe to us on there, give us a review, rate us. That's the best way to give us feedback and let other people know how much you love us. I know that we've been behind on getting the audio versions up, or I have been anyway. I've been getting old episodes up, and I wanted to do it chronologically, but there's been such a outcry from fans. They want the audio versions, or you know, it's been so long since a fresh audio version of the podcast. I apologize. You know, I can't say that anymore.
He's one man.
Yeah, one man.
I was actually going to talk to you, Duran, about that. I was going to see if I can help out, if you know, possible.
Any help on the back end? Because adding in podcast episodes, depending on the podcast length and the age of the episode, I've got to find the date that it was recorded, the information about the episode, got to find the file that's on the server, link to it, and then add all that. It's usually about a 5 to 10 minute process per episode to get one up there. That's after it's already been encoded and uploaded.
On average, too, you know, an hour and a half of high quality audio footage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, that's a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's got to, it takes time. But for those of you who have been wanting the latest episodes, I've got episode 228 and 229 on the server now. They are available on iTunes and Google Play. I checked right before we went live to make sure they're up there, and they are. I will be getting this episode up very, very soon, probably within the next day or so, because right now it's not like I have anything else to do. But I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. It's been a fun episode. Thank you for to Transformers New Fan for providing the topic of discussion tonight. That, you know, just goes to show you we listen to our fans, and if you want us to talk about something and we think we can make a show out of it, we will. We love our fans, and thank you all for joining us this week. For Jackal, Proto Man, Marauding Prime, and Megamus, I'm Weird Wolf. We will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Night.
If anybody's looking for Deluxe Groove, hit me up on Facebook.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.